Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Good evening, everybody. Friday rolls around once again in the big calendar roll thing that happens.
I've never had a rolly calendar.
You set it off from the top of the hill and it spins around, and every so often it lands on a Friday. About one in seven.
Hmm.
That seems to be a very stable number.
I mean...
But we never know when it's going to happen.
No.
I'm not even sure if this is a metaphor. Fridays happen pretty regularly, Gina.
Not in my world, they don't.
I've had like 3 or 4 Friday nights in my life.
It's good to know.
Yeah. Hello, I have returned.
He's
and
back.
Andy, back from that subsequent ASIO mission or wherever you sent me.
Actually, we just said you weren't here. We were very hush-hush.
Ah, yes.
Don't
we
tell them
our
anything.
We learned from last time.
That's very good. I've been quite busy.
Doing what, Andy?
Ferrying people back and forth from one place to another.
And Andy's a Sherpa.
Ah, yes, of course.
That's right. I translate
typical
them.
Typical Andy.
I translate them in three dimensions. X, Y, and Z.
Technically ooh, four dimensions.
Did you say Z, not Z?
Now, people have picked me up on this before, and I have never really noticed the distinction. Yeah, Z.
I
A, B, C, D.
When I say it at the beginning of a word, I will say Z, because my name begins with Z, so Z-A-N-E. If it's at the end of the word, I'll say Z.
Hmm. See, when I spell my name, I spell it S-Z-O-S-L-E-R. Yeah. Yeah.
Because if I'm spelling trapeze, it would be T-R-A-P-E-Z-E.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm.
I say, because my last name ends with Z, but I say S-C-H-W-A-R-T-Z.
I don't have a Z in my name.
Why not, Alex?
Well, get out of here, Alex.
You do have an X, which is pretty good.
Close, that's a good point. But that's why you're not a host.
Yeah. That's how it goes.
I'm sorry.
Just missed the mark.
Welcome, everybody. You are... hearing voices on this glass of wine, a podcast. I am Andy Schossler. To my left,
Zane C. Weber.
To his left,
it's me. It's Gina Schwartz. How's it going?
Hey, Gina.
Hey.
Oh, that sounds so awful.
Okay, rude. That's how I used to talk.
And that's why we're friends now, yeah. And not then.
And to her left, special return guest. It may as well be permanent.
Hello. Me, Alex Smith. Hello.
Alex Smith. Your man Alex Smith is back again.
That's me.
Would you become more interesting if you spelt Smith with a Z?
Ooh.
How would that work?
Smith?
Yeah.
No, you'd still pronounce it Smith. You just...
I think if I did that...
People would say the traditional spelling and you would say... No.
I think I'd be the guy at the party that talks about his name. So I think I'd become less interested. I'd just be like, it's actually with a Z.
Yes.
And everyone would be like, ah.
After a cheeky Chardonnay, I slip a Y in.
Oh, God. Sneak a Y in.
Yeah. Now, if you're unfamiliar with this show, we...
One moment, Andy. Let me stop you right there.
There has been a technicality.
I have a clarification to make.
Oh.
What?
Last week, I did not know... where the quote, your man, my man, our man, came from. And it was Ruby Rod from Fifth Element.
When does he say that?
When he's talking to Bruce Willis and he has to kind of fill time. And he's like...
your man.
Yeah, you know, he does it all sexy like into the microphone. He's like, here's your man, my man, our man, Corbin Dallas.
So God, I got to watch that again. I fucking love the
it's
Fifth
a great
Element.
Movie.
I love it.
You should incorporate that into your show somehow.
I just assumed it was a thing that people did. Because a lot of people do it when they say my name. And I'm like, I guess it's just a thing that
also,
people do.
Alex Smith?
They really? Say, he's your man, he's my man, he's everybody's man. It's your man, Alex Smith.
Oh, okay.
And I figured because your man, Alex Smith, makes sense as someone talking about me to someone else.
Mm.
But when someone is like announcing me, it's usually people announcing me to a crowd. They'll be like, rather than being like, it's your man, Alex Smith, which still makes sense. But if, you know, like people just seem to trip up on like the semantics of it. And so usually to get around it, they'll be like, I'll make a joke about it. Is your man my man, our man, your man, Alex Smith?
It's just so much more dramatic to go, hey, it's this and it's this. No, it's this guy over here.
It's your man. It's my man. It's the, with the first one. It's your man, Alex Smith. I enjoy it. I enjoy having a thing that people do. It's nice. Makes it feel special.
As it should.
Thank you.
Rolls off the tongue very nicely. Your man, Alex Smith.
If you search Alex Smith musician, you just get a bunch of random people who didn't have the foresight to have some search engine optimization.
But you search for your man, Alex Smith.
Yeah, I'm the only one. And you get the footballer in America when he's done something.
That's exactly why I have a C in my name.
Hey.
Or is Zane Webber very popular?
No, but there are other Zane Webbers. There are no other Zane C. Webbers at the moment.
Ooh.
On Google, at least.
Does the C stand for classy?
It stands for Christian.
Ooh.
Which is wrong. But, you know, Andy, you're going to introduce the show before I interrupted you and sidetracked everyone with my Fifth Element chat.
No, that's all right. This is it's a worthy interruption.
I enjoyed it because it was about me.
Actually, I do another podcast, Second Take, a film review podcast. Ooh. And they recently reviewed Scream 3. At time of recording, that's available. And I was quite surprised at how many times they referenced me in that. I wasn't able to make the recording. But my goodness, that was a crutch they relied on to get through that episode.
I mean, is it because it's such a classy, great, critically acclaimed movie?
I think that may have almost everything to do with it.
I'm making your theme tune.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah, unless that was a second surprise, take. In which case, no, I'm not.
Forget anything I mentioned about singing in songs. In fact, I'm giving up the instrument.
Yeah.
Your man, Malik Schmite.
Malik Schmite, your evil twin.
The nemesis.
So if you are unfamiliar with our show, Glass of Wine, what we do is we... very much like this, sit around and talk and chatter, but in amongst that we interlace it with some wine. We sample a lovely bottle that is sent to us by our good friends at Good Pear Days.
Good Pear Days.
I beat you.
They're a wine subscription service. Check them out online. Take their palate quiz. They will send you all sorts of recommendations. It is fun. I use it as well, and I can't recommend them more than...
you are right now.
Absolutely, yes. That's
and
I lost my train of thought.
You might have missed out, but if there's any left over, they're
Advent
boxes.
Have we bought one?
I may have.
Ooh,
and maybe you may I haven't. Not have. Okay,
you'll have to wait and see
for the Christmas episode,
where we will drink all 12
for in the space of 45 minutes.
Oof.
Well, they send you some delightful wines. Even their cheapest price point, I've never had a bad one of theirs.
Yeah, absolutely.
They really are remarkable as wine service,
and such a great international variety as well.
Oh yes. This week, however, we are staying local. They have sent us a Shiraz called the Hedonist from McLaren Vale.
Have we had this one before?
In Australia. There's something very familiar about it. I think I may have just seen the label before.
Yeah, it's a very distinctive label with a kind of a lithograph pig.
Mm. Which is exactly what would entice me into buying it if I saw it on the shelf. It's a very cheeky
label.
Love
a good lithograph wine label.
Lithograph? Mm. For those of us at home who don't know.
it's kind of the old style printing where you would engrave something on wood and then press it.
Nice.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew. I just wanted, you know, I know the audience didn't know.
Fair, good call.
So have a little sample, have a smell.
Don't tell me what
this...
to do. But I'll do it.
I'm just trying to fill time while I tell you about Good Pear Days.
Tell us more.
And the offer they have at checkout, plug in our promo code Glass of Wine. It's wine with an H for $25 off your first order. And if you are so bold, chuck on a fourth bottle onto your order. They will deliver you the lot for free.
Chuck it on.
No delivery.
Chuck it on.
Just yeet it on there.
And you can pause at any time. Like you don't have to. It's not a commitment. Any
not like children.
Okay. Now, Gina, I didn't bring it up. Okay.
No, I just thought it was a little funny.
So what do you think of this?
I think it's quite nice. It's a little
it's very fruity.
But also it's quite tanniny as well.
Can I tell you where I'm drinking this?
You want to skip right ahead?
It was very visceral in my mind.
All right.
Games have rules, Gina. Wrong. You can't just skip to your favourite part.
Not on my show. This is only my show. So we're going to come back. But I want to just say I'm drinking this. I took my first sip and I was like, you know what? This is probably a second date. Ooh. And we're in we're in a bar/restaurant that is exclusive. It's not too expensive, but not too many people know about it. So it's dimly lit. The food is great. And he's just like oh, you got to try this. And he's put something on a fork and he's fed it to me. And he bought me this glass of wine. I mean, this bottle of wine, sorry.
She said the name of the podcast.
And we're just having the best time. And I'm like, this is a man that's really awesome. And then we have this passionate kiss. And then I never hear from him again.
Oh.
But it's not a bad thing. It's kind of like he was in town because he's a millionaire for work. And now he has to go over.
Yes, his work is being a millionaire.
Whatever it is. And so, you know, he lives overseas or he lives far away. So it was kind of like we happened upon each other and we went on these two magnificent dates and then we just fell apart. But there's no animosity or like anger. It's just kind of like we had two great dates. And remember that wine he bought?
I do remember that wine he bought. While you're doing that over in the other corner,
yeah,
I've got a group of friends who are avoiding the party by playing poker and smoking cigars and drinking this wine.
That's good.
And we're kind of like one of those like recessed living rooms that kind of like that you have to step down and then you sit and you're kind of at floor level
now
with the table.
That's classy.
Yeah. That's classy. That's Ron Burgundy levels of class right there.
That's how you know you've made it.
Yeah, and I'm playing poker and drinking this wine.
This podcast would be good for writers, I think. Especially
wine is good for writers.
What did old Maddie Butler say? It was a quote he said from a famous author. He said, "Write drunk, edit sober."
That's good advice.
It's credited to Hemingway,
but it is incorrectly credited to Hemingway.
Oh. Yeah, where was it from? Do you
I don't know.
He said
something.
He did.
Who listens to old Maddie?
We do.
It's true.
Old Quite Maddie, often. If you're listening, we love you. Tell us what the quote is.
This wine is what I imagine that emperors and kings of old would be drinking. It's quite a robust red wine. Like it's not harsh, but it is full of flavour.
It's strong. Like it's a little bit leathery.
It sits in the mouth very, pleasantly. It feels your entire. It lingers on the tongue very pleasantly. It's delightful. It's not harsh like Shiraz's tend to be.
It's not spicy, but it's got a nice kick of something strong. You know what I mean?
It's remarkable.
Yeah.
So this is a time travelling wine.
If you like your heavy wine.
Time travelling wine.
Yes, when I invent time travel, I'll take a bottle of this with me.
All right.
And enjoy it. That's where I'm drinking it, in my DeLorean.
If you are.
See, when you said time machine, I didn't think DeLorean. I thought like old-timey horse-drawn carriage. I don't know why my mind went there rather than just like a box with circuit boards all over
but
it.
Interesting that you still went with a vehicle and not like a telephone box or something. Time travels have been, time machines rather, have been all sorts of crazy things.
Yeah.
Has anybody ever created a time machine spoon? Like you go to eat your ice cream and you oh no, it's my time traveling spoon.
I mean there was time travel refrigerators.
What?
Whatever they were in Primer. Is that what they were? They like had to put themselves in the like these boxes.
Back to the Future's original mechanism was going to be a fridge.
Mm. They were scared the kids were going to climb in and suffocate.
That's exactly right.
And they did.
Natural.
Regardless of the movie.
Where are you drinking this, Alex?
If you can tolerate my insane ramblings.
Yes.
Stick with me because this one surprised even me.
Okay.
I'm thinking season 2 Buffy, I'm a vampire. Okay. I'm in the warehouse.
Okay.
And there's like a big robot thing, and I've tried to attack it with my teeth, and I got a mouthful of oil.
And this...
That's what I'm thinking. Now, it sounds ridiculous, but drink it with your eyes closed, and you're right there with me.
Okay. I can't remember the robot. I can remember the vampires in the warehouse.
Nice. The robot's my OC. If you look for Buffy, I mean, technically there's iRobot Eugene from season two.
Yeah, sure.
Season two is more of the aesthetic. I've had a lot better. Where am I drinking this ones? But this one was the most honest.
I think this definitely
from my
brings
heart.
A lot of like the bronze vibes.
Right?
Yeah, I think you could definitely be drinking this at that nightclub, that underage nightclub, I want to say, because they're all like,
oh,
high
yeah.
school kids, but they go there.
Did they, were they sneaking in? Was that the thing?
They were, like, all the high school kids were there.
Yeah.
Like, all the time. Like, that's where they went.
Maybe it was, like, an all-ages venue.
Mm.
I never watched Buffy.
What? That surprises me. That definitely surprises me. I mean, I think now, watching it, it's not quite as groundbreaking as it was at the time.
Back then. I don't think I like Sarah Michelle... Parker? Is that a name? Geller?
Sarah Jessica Parker.
Yeah.
Or Peter Parker.
Peter Parker. That's what I was thinking of. No, it wasn't. I was thinking of...
Or Sam Parkinson.
Sarah Jessica Parker. Hmm. Wait, was that her name?
Yes.
Yeah. Sarah Jessica Parker, yep.
She was from Sex and the City.
Yeah, okay. That's... Yeah, got
and Matthew Broderick's
up.
Wife.
Fucking
oh,
Matthew
what?
Broderick killed two people in Ireland and no one wants to talk about it.
Oh,
I have except for everyone who wants to talk about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, my friend makes sure that we know about it all
yeah.
the time.
Yeah. My friend, like every couple of months, he posts like a meme. It'll be like something harmless. It'll be like, don't you love it when sunflowers do this and Matthew Broderick, you know, killed two people in Ireland.
Fuck.
It's true. Are we playing a game, Andy?
We are. I'm going to open up to the floor as to which game we're playing. Is it the vintage game?
Monopoly?
Or the food pairing
Monopoly.
Game?
Food pairing, because I think I saw the year.
Excellent.
I think I saw the year as I look at it and point at it.
Is that the year? Who can say?
Actually, it's surprising to learn that for a full-tasting Shiraz like this...
It's quite
this,
young. It's 2017.
Young. Yeah.
2017.
And the notes...
What a good year.
And the notes recommend recommended as ready to drink, but for cellaring up to 7 years.
Oh, hello. Ooh.
So this might be quite nice in 2025. Going, yeah.
Well, we opened it, so...
I can't wait.
Would you, let's get a second one and keep it.
Yeah.
All right, what are you pairing this with? How would you eat
I'm thinking,
alongside this wine?
I'm thinking pasta and oysters.
Interesting.
I don't know why. Really? I'm going out there. Jem was have right a, that one time.
Have another sip and tell me if you feel like oysters.
Okay, fine.
No, I'm not questioning you. I'm just asking you to confirm because it's a bizarre choice.
This is something garlicky. This is probably pasta, Italian.
Okay. I don't actually enjoy oysters. I don't like anything that you can't chew.
You can chew oysters.
You can chew oysters. It's people just horrific.
People tell you not to. But
yeah,
I just
because it's
it.
Horrific.
See, what's that, the point?
That implies to me that you shouldn't be eating it.
Exactly.
If you do the wholeheartedly things, agree, Alex. That's what I meant.
If you do the things that you do when you eat this, you're gonna have a bad time. So just like try to eat it, but like not really.
You're meant to swallow it whole. So what's the point? Are you even tasting it?
Yes, it tastes like slimy, salty. Gross, snot.
It's briny. If you've had caviar, it's quite a similar...
Caviar?
Also
gross.
I
don't know. Caviar's not that bad.
It's nice with in the
I
right
don't
context.
Know. Caviar my taste every morning really hits the spot, you know? Yeah. Just a little bit, you know, not enough to be bougie or anything.
Caviar and Vegemite on toast, absolutely.
Colonel Mustard.
That was not Colonel Mustard.
It was close.
It was close. He was British.
So we have pasta. We have garlicky dishes. And,
yeah, something.
And
yeah, Italian. I'd probably pasta, maybe bolognese or marinara.
What about?
Okay.
What do you
even
think?
Pizza, maybe.
Alex,
I'd probably make a nice sharehouse spag bowl with it.
Oh,
all pasta.
Yeah,
this is remarkable.
Kind
all
of
you,
tomatoey. I think.
Yeah.
Like leathery. Yeah, because yeah,
definitely
something
tomatoey. Yeah.
Okay.
Like I'd probably stay away from a creamy sauce.
This is remarkable.
All
we're of
all
you
wrong?
Are incorrect.
Oh no,
beef.
Yeah, it recommends barbecue favorites, so homemade burgers, sausages, ribs. But it says it would also pair really nicely with bean dishes, grilled eggplant, teriyaki vegetables, and stuffed mushrooms.
Ooh. Stuffed mushrooms, you know, I could get behind. That's
kind of an Italian thing. I'm going to pay that
maybe
one.
Maybe some good nachos.
I think this wine is too sophisticated for a burger.
Mm. No, no, never.
There's no
greater pleasure than digging into a greasy burger with the mayonnaise and crap flowing down your, and just wine in the other hand.
I am so on with the burgers, but
the duality of man.
One thing I feel should be pointed out about this wine, in the notes, it says that the veteran winemaker Walter Clappis, alongside his daughter Kimberly and her partner James Cooter, are responsible for this wine, and they are heavily into biodynamics and good soil health.
Awesome.
Good to know.
In a soil biology, so they've basically tailored their vineyard soil in this patch to match this grape specifically.
Just to
good on them.
And it shows. I mean, if that's the effort you need to go to get this quality, it's absolutely paying off for them, because this is a remarkable wine. I mean, this could easily fetch, you know, $80 or $90 at a restaurant, and you would not be disappointed. You would think, that sounds about right.
Do you think that this podcast, because it seems to have gotten pretty big, pretty quick, do you think that the people who are sending in these wines associated with the company are like, they're going to review my wine, and now Kimberly
that'd
and
be so
the family.
Cool if they did.
Yeah. If any winemakers are listening and you have been featured,
we'd be
delighted
to. And by email,
to.
I mean message us on Instagram.
Start your own podcast and link us on.
And that's the only way we will listen to you.
I do answer emails, so I'm on the emails.
What's our email, Zane?
Our glass of wine. Glass of wine podcast at gmail.com.
W-H-I-N-E.
Yes. Yep.
Who had glass of wine at Gmail? What very specific person was like, this is my
I
email
I don't
address.
Know, but somebody did.
Got in first.
Yep. I mean, it's a easy pun to make, I think.
No, you know how there was that not so much a craze, just very savvy people when the internet was becoming a thing, and they went off and registered registered pizzahut.com and things like that. Mm. And some of it paid off because people came back and said, hey, we actually need a website. You have the domain. Let's, you know, throw you some money, and okay, I'll do it for
like
you.
Like the guy who owns milk.com.
Yeah.
He won't give it up.
who is like, I need some milk, www.milk.com.
Well, then there are people who are not bizarre, I would say eccentric, and in a very, you know, creative way, who just, domain, and I'm going to keep this one.
I think he had something to do with milk, but now it's all his.
So I don't know, popular turns of phrase and things, if it costs nothing to register an email address, and there you go, it's mine. If you want it, you can pay for it, or...
What's on milk.com?
Shall I check it right now?
Yes, I need to know.
Milk.com.
While we're waiting for that, shallst we complain, gentlemen?
Shallst. We shallst.
Shallst?
Welcome to the Milk Communications Co-op. Communications and Co-op, spelt with K's. Main contents.
I don't like it already.
Dan Fuzz's homepage. Mimu. Music demos and library. Barcode server. Dan's favorite recipe. This is just his...
What is this about?
This is just his personal website, where he's just like kind of like uploaded things for people to listen to and
is his name access. Milk? Is his last name Milk?
Milk.com publication network. Does the universe exist? ?
No.
Hourly kitten.
What the fuck?
Post ham. 3 dot points under milk.com publication network.
Okay, he's brought me back. I'm interested. Yeah,
so he's going to have a bit of a bump. And he was established in 1994.
Wow.
1994?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Also, damn. I found out from a guy at work. He was like, yeah, we were the first school in Brisbane to receive computers in like 1984 or something, and I was like, fuck me, when were computers invented?
In the 70s.
Because my family, I mean, we're not the richest of people, but we didn't get a computer until 2000 something.
Well, before Steve Jobs and Steve Wozniak made their first Macintosh machine, typically a system at home would be, you know, the thing you have to type commands into, another console, things like Atari and things like that. They were all kind of popular then as well. So you would stick in a cartridge and do the, and the program would run and you sort of execute it. They came along and sort of made it a bit more user-friendly, a lot more user-friendly.
Mm.
And the popularity of the personal computer sort of took off then. I think that was the early 70s when they came out with their first design.
Well, I mean, we all know that the first computer was invented by Alan Turing.
Actually, it was invented by Edward Computer.
You're wrong.
All right, who's complaining? Someone complain about something.
Charles Babbage made a mechanical computer.
We all know you're wrong.
I have a complaint, but I don't know whether it makes me look bad.
I mean, all my complaints make me
okay,
look bad.
I'm complaining that Alex doesn't want to complain. Honestly, he comes on a podcast specifically for complaining and then just like, oh, but my complaint is bad.
No, do it.
This is a double episode. All right. So my podcast is bad. No, my podcast is very much of the mindset of creating art is the reason for it and that all art is good art. And that creating for the sake of creating is important. Mm. And my, like, the flip side of that coin for me is that I get really angry.
Same.
When people just shit out art that they haven't worked hard on. And I don't know how to phrase it. But you know when people are someone, like, just like, you know, here's a thing. And they were like, say I'm great for it, you know? But it's like...
So do you mean people in the sense of just... pushing out content, they're not caring about what they're putting out?
Like, I guess the similar kind of thing would be someone who decides one day to like start a Let's Play and their episodes are 3 hours long.
What's a Let's Play?
It's a thing where
so
like,
other people can watch you play games.
Yeah, so you play a video game and there'll be like a camera on you and you'll be like giving fun commentary. Often you'll be there with a friend and you'll be like, oh yeah, anyway, so here's the thing, conversations are getting a bit dead, let's talk about an interesting story. But like the usually it'll be people who are just kind of like turn on a camera for 3 hours and just kind of like just rant. And like I think it's wanting the reward of putting in effort without putting in the effort,
okay,
which frustrates me,
you know? Well, Alex,
the wonderful thing about art is that the recipient is under no obligation to appreciate it.
Well, that's the thing. That's exactly it.
And Alex, I understand your complaint.
Right?
But isn't it better that they're doing something rather than nothing?
Well, sometimes no.
Well, no. I'm not talking about that any work has artistic merit. I'm saying, isn't the fact that they have the impulse to create something in itself worthwhile for them as a person rather than simply consuming other people's products?
But they're taking up valuable space on the internet, Zane.
Valuable space that they have paid for.
Can you tell me why? Can you explain that a little bit more? Because in my opinion, I don't know.
the kind of people that I have very little understanding of are the people that literally go to work, come home, eat dinner, watch TV, go to bed, get up, go to work, come home, eat dinner, watch TV, go to bed. And they don't have the urge to create something because literally if I'm not creating something, I feel a lack in myself.
I think I understand. I think I've whittled down what it is and I can better articulate it.
Okay.
Because I definitely am of the mindset that to create is good. And I think that's why it kind of like grinds in me, because I'm like, at least they're making something. I don't think it's so much, because I think someone who like runs a shitty YouTube channel for a few years, I think that's like fine and good and like, dare I say, noble. Because they're like, I want to create I want to create something. I want to contribute to this world.
Well, if you flick on a microphone and just talk at it for an hour.
Well, yeah.
Are you always creating something?
Well, that's the other thing. I think the kind of people who succeed at like YouTube are usually people who do it for 10 years and they don't expect to make money because they're not doing it for the money. I think the people that grind my gears are the people who are like, I want to become a YouTube star. And then rather than...
People who are taking a shortcut.
Yeah, like taking shortcuts.
Or people who are doing it for the fame rather than for the product.
Yeah.
I see. So they're emulating somebody popular.
Yeah, so they want to be YouTube famous rather than just, I want to make videos on YouTube.
But like
there's nothing wrong with wanting to be famous.
But like they don't even do...
Isn't there?
The like the basic like research. They don't say like, oh, so like I should have decent lighting or like I should.
Well, that's how you filter through who's going to make it and who doesn't.
Yeah. Oh, I know. Like they're not going. It's just frustrating because it's like, I think it's the mindset that people are like, I want this. And so rather than do any work to try to make what I'm putting out good, I'm just going to do it and then I'll succeed. And that attitude frustrates me as someone who works very hard, you know, to see people, you know.
If somebody does have that attitude and they do have a genuine desire to be famous and they fail as a result of not putting in effort, is that not the best lesson they could possibly have?
Well, usually, like the people who fail and then are like, oh, I see what I've done wrong, I need to improve.
Either they improve or collapse and give up. Yeah.
But it's the people who do it and then quit because it's hard. Because
that's also fine. That's filtering out people who aren't prepared to put in an effort.
Yeah. I see where you're coming from.
Right.
And here's my opinion, which we all ask for. Not everyone is built to create creative things. Some people are built to go to work, come home and watch TV and do it all over again. And they're happy doing that because they might be really good at their, you know, office job, or they might be really good, you know, talking to people.
We need janitors and hotel concierges.
I do not deny this.
We do, Andy.
Drivers. We need bus drivers.
That's true.
We do. Like this, some people are content in doing that. And if we didn't have those people, then us creative people would be making art for other creative people. Mm. You know, and if that was the case, we'd just see each other's art and go, I can do better. I'll step it up.
Oh no. I don't want to do better. I don't want to compete with people with content and.
Well, it's like, you know what I mean? Like sometimes you watch a piece of art or you see a piece of art or you listen or whatever. You go, that's really great art, full stop. Yeah. Or sometimes you watch a piece of art or see a piece of art and you go, that's pretty good. But I can add something to that. We need the normal people out there just to consume our art so we can keep creating it.
We need the normies,
but also we need the normies to know.
I don't think you've ever sounded more condescending, Gina. And that's unintentional.
I'm always condescending.
I mean, I totally understand what you're saying. I think...
I back it.
I think the problem that we're kind of buzzing around is that the people that don't have the creative instinct, who just want to have the end result of the creation, just really add to all this white noise that creative people have to chop through, and it's like unnecessary extra work because people who aren't there for the product are making it difficult for people who are there for the product. But that's the thing, like I would prefer that people were trying and failing than not trying at all.
I get very frustrated, and I have a feeling you will agree with this, Alex. I get very, very annoyed by people who are not putting in an effort and then feel like they're entitled to some sort of fame.
Oh, yeah.
And then they blame their audience the public in general for not appreciating what they've done.
Yeah.
Because, you know,
like
hey,
Screech.
Somebody, yeah.
Like Screech with his sex tape.
Like who?
Screech?
Screech from Saved by the Bell.
Legit. Oh.
Yeah, he produced a sex tape a few years ago in an effort to become relevant again.
Do you mean the actor who played Screech?
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I can't remember his actual name.
Diamonds? Like, is it someone Diamond?
I was going to say, that's a weird episode of Saved by the Bell.
No, he produced a sex tape, but he cut it in such a way. He actually hired porn actors to...
Oh, so he was the director. He wasn't in it.
He was in it, but it was never his body or genitals that you saw. Like, it was him taking you through, introducing you to the girls. And like, he was talking with the girls or whatever. And then when the sex happened, it was just kind of no faces.
Darren Brown.
Yeah.
Trickery. Swapped out.
Like, he wanted some of that Kardashian... action.
Oh, uh-huh. God. I think also with... What else do you call them? Normies. That sounds really bad, but that's...
Casuals?
I think they used to be called an audience.
Yeah, I think in this case, an audience.
I just think people who aren't creative, when they're like, when they don't understand that it actually takes work and talent to do what creative people do, and they go into YouTube, wherever they go, and they go, I can do this. I can just do it on my phone. I can sing. I can act. And they do it, and they're not received with praise. They go, Oh, maybe it isn't as easy as I thought it was, and maybe these people that I've put down for years actually have some talent.
But if platforms like YouTube and Vines and TikTok and all those have showed us anything, it's that people in general are pretty damn creative, and all they need is, you know, some accessible forum to display it.
I think people are creative, but there's different categories. I mean,
nobody would describe themselves as being absent a sense of humour. You know, if you get a joke,
even though some people definitely are,
but your ability to tell jokes, I would think, is very much in sync with your ability to get jokes.
I mean, everyone's creative in their own right. You don't necessarily have to be, in quotation marks, creative and have to create art. You can be creative with food. You can be creative with childcare.
Yeah, exactly,
like, you can be creative in so many different ways. It's just that normal people, in quotation marks, just sometimes don't give us professional creatives the praise or weight.
Recognition,
thank you, that we sometimes deserve.
They can't enjoy what they don't enjoy if you're not giving them what they
want. Oh, no, I know what you mean, but it's kind of like, it's don't bite the hand that feeds you within. Mm. You can't watch, you know, famous TV shows. You can't go to the movies and like all this stuff.
And then it's kind of what they're saying with like when schools cut art budgets or whatever. It's like, okay, you can do that, but you go try spending a day without listening to any music or watching any TV or talking about film, and then see how you feel.
Or reading a book.
The arts in your life. Ooh.
Or actually,
I don't think there's any more frightening than a school government, you know, sponsored art program. This is art, and this is what you will. This is how you're creative,
or like,
know, in these specific ways, and we will assess you with these check marks. Mm. And anything outside of that is not creative, and it's not art. That's bullshit.
Or go without a day without wearing bright colors or bright clothing. Just walk around in plain black and white, and even then, you're not allowed to have it form fitting. Just wear a cloth, because everything you can assume around you was born by creatives.
Okay.
I think I might be projecting, because I spent a long time creating art with some people who were not putting in the
work. Same effort.
The group project problem. Yeah. And I realized that I saw some shows recently, and I don't want to say any details because it might give away what the shows were, but 10 years ago I saw a show.
10 years.
And the gimmick was that they didn't put in any effort in the show. And I was like, fuck you for making me pay to see this.
Absolutely.
Because it was like, we didn't put any effort. Isn't that funny? It's like, what, no.
Was it just an $89 improv show? Is that what it was?
Oh, essentially.
I mean, but even improv shows, you rehearse and you practice and you hone that particular skill.
No, virgin territory. These are first-time improvers.
I think it's the attitude of just like, my charm and charisma will be so captivating that it'll be worth your money for an extended period of time. And it's like, I have better things to do with my time, you know. And then to feel like, you know, they've spit in your face at the end of it as well, to be like, and also you're the dingus for even watching this. It's like, fuck you. I have so much better things to do. But again, to clarify, my whole thing is that to create art is good. And it's when you start, it's always going to be a bit shit. But like, if you want to make good art, then you
will get better. Well, that's the thing. It takes practice. And some people who are just like, I want to be YouTube famous.
Yeah.
Went on to hone that skill and become better at it. But, you know, there are a lot of people that don't become better at it and just kind of keep going because they've got nothing else to do.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's the thing. I think a creative outlet in itself is valuable, in my opinion, anyway. Yeah. Even if I have to inadvertently consume it at some point and think poorly of it, it's still, I would rather that they're doing something rather than nothing.
Yeah.
All right.
It's nice to have a choice of content.
It is. Yeah. It's true.
Okay, that's been it. This is it. This is the end.
Well done, everybody. We did it.
Congrats.
Congratulations.
Also, because we haven't mentioned it in a couple of weeks, we have an Instagram glass of wine with an H. We also have Facebook and Twitter. Look us up. Ooh. Shout out to my mom, my dad, and my sister, and my niece, Sophie. I love you all.
And we apologize for Gina Tappas last week.
I don't apologize for that at all.
I feel that you apologized to them last week.
I feel like I've always told them that I didn't want kids, but now they really know.
Okay, why. Well, that's good. I mean, honesty is a good place to start.
It wasn't a surprise. I wasn't like, I'll give you more grandchildren. They knew I didn't want them, but now they know specifically why I don't.
Now you can look forward to that conversation at Christmas dinner. You didn't really mean that, did you?
No, my parents are fine. They've got three grandchildren. I'm out of it. They've had
the blessings of siblings.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, thank you once again, everybody. Thank you, Zane.
Thank you very much, Andy.
Thank you, Joyner.
Thank you, Andy.
And thank you, Alex.
Thank you for having me.
I feel so dirty.
Why? Because you said my name.
It's an awful accent.
Andy.
Toy Story 5.
Goodbye. Let's talk about X, baby.
Crappy relationships, the bane of our collective existence. But what do we learn from our mistakes?
I'm relationship columnist Liz Best.
And I'm funny guy Tom Harris.
Ghosts of Boyfriends Past will chat to guests about love gone wrong and take you on a journey through the funny, tragic, horrifying...
And sometimes just plain bonkers stories about that crazy little thing called love. It's like a group therapy session.
With two people completely unqualified to be leading it. New episodes drop fortnightly on Thursday, so join in to hear tales of heartbreak and woe and hopefully wind up a little wiser or drunker for it.
That's Not Kind of Productions podcast.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.